treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo. You, you, for you, you, I'd leave it all. My acres of land I have achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, you, for you, you, I'd leave it all. For you, 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 I need it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you hold me, then all of this will go away. Yeah. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. For you, you, I'd leave it all. For you, you, I'd leave it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you hold me, hold me, that all of this will go away. Oh. 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 Yeah. Oh. My friends and family, they don't understand. They fear they lose so much if you take my hand, but for you, you, for you, you, I'd leave it all, yeah. For you, you, for you, you, I'd leave it all. Hey, give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you hold me, then all of this will go. Treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo. You, you, for you, you, I'd leave it all. For you, you, for you, you, I'd leave it all.
Great, great, great song, and happy Memorial Day weekend to all of you guys. I'm Chuck Mingo, campus pastor here, and that song really reflects what I think all of us would desire, which is a relationship that would be worth leaving it all for, a relationship that lasts. And so we're starting a new series today, and it's all about that. You know, in our culture, oftentimes relationships can appear to be these contractual things that are meant to be broken. We're going to be looking at the marriage relationship, the parenting relationship, friendships, and our relationship with God through the lens of the Bible, which talks about how to build relationships that actually last. And so, excited to have you be a part of this conversation with us. You know, a couple things to update you on really all are tied to and connected to relationships around here. So one of the things that I want to give you an update on is if you were around a few months ago, you may have been a part of this Beans and Rice initiative where we decided to eat weirdly for a week and raised $500,000 that went outside of Crossroads to bless organizations all around our city. It's pretty cool, huh? Including $200,000, we invested in the anti-heroin efforts in our city. And I wanted you to know that at Oakley, We had 50,000 of that to invest in an organization, and we chose to invest it in Teen Challenge Milford, who's doing a great job of helping people break the cycle of heroin addiction and actually restore their relationships with themselves, with their families, and ultimately with Jesus as well. In fact, we got a story from Teen Challenge Milford recently, and this is the kind of life change that we as a team get to invest in. It's a guy named Will, he's 19. He says, "Hi, my name is Will Klee. Coming to Teen Challenge on June 1st, 2014 was the best thing I have ever done. Before Teen Challenge, I had a problem and it needed to be addressed. I had many broken relationships and lost a lot of trust from my family members and friends. I had hurt a lot of people in my life and needed to repair these relationships. I prayed to God on these things and He has been faithful to His promises. He has restored my relationships with my family members and has delivered me from drugs and alcohol. God has given me true joy and peace. Through the power of Jesus Christ, I have been set free." We get to be a part of that story. Will with his family, and man, I tell you what, it's just awesome to be in relationship with people like Teen Challenge Milford who are doing great work in and through our city. We care about relationships here. In fact, the ultimate relationship we want for everybody who comes through the doors of Crossroads is a closer, growing relationship with Jesus. And so we're taking a tool that we've had as a community for years now, last Wednesday, and we're completely repurposing it. We're relaunching it as Next Level, and that starts this Wednesday, May 27th. You can be a part of it. Child care will be provided, and I want to tell you, this will be absolutely nothing like what we've done for last Wednesday before, and it's going to be totally different than what we do on the weekend. We're going to take this time at the last Wednesday of every month and focus it on training, sharpening, and repeating, meaning we're going to focus on helping all of us grow and move to a new place with Jesus. So I'm excited about it. Can't wait to launch it. Love for you guys to be a part of it. One of the other things that we recently did is we had our Brave Journey. And as a part of that journey, thousands of people got into small groups for the first time. And I'll just tell you, we just know around here, transformation happens when you get in smaller environments with people where you can be known. And so we want to continue to create on-ramps for that to happen for folks. One of the ways we do that is a monthly Connect event that's happening next weekend here in Oakley. After every service, you can join us over in Meeting Room C for a little bit of time just to hear a little bit more about this place and help to continue to make this big place smaller. So if you're brand new or if you've been around for a while but haven't been to a Connect event, come on out after the service next weekend in Meeting Room C and join us. We'd love to meet you. Love to begin the process of making this big place a bit smaller. One final update to let you know about. Because of the relationships that we have with organizations in India through our justice work, we were able to really have an inline to be a blessing in Nepal when the earthquake hit. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we just wrote a check for $50,000. We just wrote it when that happened. And so this community invested in the recovery efforts in Nepal. So well done, team. Well done. We're able to do that because of the generosity of people every day, and we're able to do that because of relationships. We actually got a video from our partner in Nepal thanking us for our investment. Take a look at this.
Hi, I'm Chuck Duby with Hope Force International. I'm in a remote village about 5 hours out of Kathmandu. This particular area has been really hard hit. About 65 people have died. We have been able to bring a medical team in to provide care here, which has been much needed. Thank you so much. We could not have been here without you.
That's great. So good. So whether it's receiving relationship with God, growing in that relationship with God, or partners that we get to invest with or do life with through that relationship, things are happening around here, and we have a lot of things to be thankful for. So I want to invite everybody to stand. We're going to spend some time singing together, and this is an opportunity to grease the relationship that we believe, grease the skids of the relationship that we believe you're here to have with God, and we absolutely know He's interested in having with you. So let's sing these songs together.
His heart and passion is pouring.
Love is sweet, his love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life. Oh yeah. His love is deep, his love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce, his love is strong, and it's furious. Love is sweet, his love is wild.
Sweet, love is wild, and it's waking heart to life. Wake up, heart to life.
We're going to continue to worship. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can worship. That song is called 10,000 Reasons. And one of the reasons is because in the scriptures, every time that we're called to worship God, which simply means to ascribe worth and value to Him that He's worthy of, every time we see that in scripture, we're given reasons for worshiping Him, about His character, reasons about what He created, reasons about His faithfulness and His love. And I want you to know, we've got another 1,100 plus reasons to be thankful for God, because that's how many people got baptized at all the Crossroads sites last weekend. And that's just evidence that God is still interested in changing lives. And so we're going to watch a video that kind of summarizes what happened last weekend. And then after that, we're going to sing some more. Let's look at this together.
Kevin, you just told me that God has interrupted your life in an amazing way around here. So Kevin, I just ask you, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
My life is all about being in God's service from here on out, from this day, and that God is not just my Father, He's my King.
Seeing that God is not keeping score and knowing that He's my Savior and He's love, that weight has just been lifted off.
There's no fear in love, and that's just not how I'm supposed to live my life.
It's a gift. Everything He gives is a gift. I don't have to work for it. It's freely given. It's unconditional.
So what made you decide to do this today?
I've always tried to be really independent, and I realized that there's strength in not going alone, and I'm committing to that today.
I've faced addiction for the last 21 years. Death was my last option, and I found Jesus. And I don't think I'm going to die now.
So I keep hearing this commercial on TV, and all I'm hearing is, this changes everything. And I instantly went back to awaited, and I knew that it was God talking to me.
This family has been broken. At Main Camp, I dedicated my life to Christ. It has had a fundamental change in our family. It has changed it. We have healed our marriage. Our daughter is thriving.
My heart has been healed and I feel whole again because I have a relationship with God.
What today marks for you?
2 years without drug dealing.
I'm ready to follow him anywhere he's going to take me at this point.
I'm so blessed and so grateful to have a relationship with God now, like I haven't had for 50 years. It's amazing.
Rose, who's your Lord and Savior?
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Savior, He can move the mountains. Our God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the curse. same forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Yeah.
righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace.
The way that you do, and thank you that 1,129 people committed their lives to you last weekend, God, and you bring freedom into that and life, and I thank you so much for that, God, and I pray that you just fill this room today and inspire us and woo us into deeper and deeper relationship with you, God, day after day after day. You are good. And I love you. Amen. You guys sound awesome. Yeah. I love hearing you sing. And singing and play music, guys, this is just one way that we worship God. And other ways that we worship God include serving and loving people like we did Go Cincinnati last weekend. Who did that? Yeah. It was incredible. It cost us $200,000 to do all of those projects across the entire city. And we can do all that amazing stuff because another way that we worship is we give our money. And we're going to do that right now. There's going to be weird disc bag things that go by. You can drop cash or check into those. Or you can go online to crossroads.net/give and give online, which is what my family does. Makes it a little easier. And while we do that, check out this amazing video from Go Cincinnati last weekend, and you can have a seat.
And I hunger and I thirst for some shiver, for some whispered word, promise to come. And you saw me low, alone again. Didn't they say that all in the end, didn't they say that all?
Man, that's good. That is so, so good. I was unable to make it this last time. I'll talk about that in a little bit why that was. But gosh, why is it that we love doing Ghost in Cincinnati? It's because we love our city and our region. We have a relationship, if you will, with our region. This is what we're talking about in this new series starting today is relationships. You know, the thing that's going to give you the most joy in your life is the digits in your bank account. No, it's not. It's not. We act that way. The thing that gives us the most joy, the most energy, the most vitality for life is not this whatever's in our bank account. It's not whatever accolades are on our wall or on our office. It's not our grand achievements. It's the people that we're in relationship with. It's the people who are going to be comforting us in our last days. It's the people who we are building into spiritually. That is the stuff that changes our brain chemistry and gives us an attitude of joy. And the crazy thing is, of all the things that are created on the earth, nothing can relate to other beings like human beings can relate to other human beings. Other beings may be relational, but nothing nearly as high as the competency that you and I have to love, to share, to nurture, to laugh with, to have fun. Why is that? It's because human beings are created in the image of God. It means we have capacities that nothing else has. My dog and my cat, much as I appreciate them, they can't connect with God and his transcendent values like I can. It's because God is a relational entity. He's not this strange, far-off, mysterious figure, though he has mystery to him, and he's vast, but he's knowable. Why? Because he wants to be relational, and he has created us in our image because we have the relational capacity that we have inherited from him. So let's talk about that today, and specifically the foundation of relationships, which is having a covenantal relationship with God. Let's pray before that happens. God, you know that I'm excited about this content today, and I think I'm excited about it because you are excited about it, and it goes to your messages throughout the entire scriptures and the things you've done in countless lives. And so, God, do it again inside of lives today, right now, who've decided to make a sacrifice of time and a beautiful day and be in a dark room to learn and grow. I pray that you would do that today, and most importantly, that the things that I say would be honoring to you. I pray these things according to your character, the person of Jesus. Amen. One of the verses that I reflect on very frequently and meditate on in the Bible, it was a game changer for me about 20 years ago, and I really wrestled with it. It comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and following. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is deep right here. The Word became flesh. That word, Word, is capitalized. It's because this is a sign of divinity. And in this culture in which this was written, the ancient Greco-Roman culture, they believed that the Word or the Logos was the cosmic goo that held together all of the cosmos. And this verse here is saying that entity that holds everything together is God, and it's specifically Jesus who took on flesh and dwelt amongst us to be able to relate to us. And he is full of grace and full of truth. Man, I'll tell you what, that is deep. Because we meet a lot of people who are full of grace. They're able to give second chances. They're able to give forgiveness. They're able to like not get upset about stuff, able to have fun, able to laugh. Those are all qualities I think of with grace. And we meet a lot of people who are about truth, like this is the way it is. Here's the values. Here's the principles. This is the way things ought to operate. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But we don't meet many people or anybody that fully embodies both of those things other than Jesus. This is why the one tattoo I have on my body, on my left shoulder here, is grace and truth. It's this right here. This is right here. I don't know why you're laughing exactly, but yes, that's not my body, in case you're wondering. That's not it. A little fun from the video guys right there. That's not my body either. But you see here, grace and truth are hanging together, surrounded by a crown of thorns. And we see on the cross that Jesus exemplified and lived fully truth and grace. You know, if you think about your childhood, one of the things that happens in your childhood, if you like spending time with your parents, if you like spending time with your siblings, you probably had a family that was high in grace and high in truth. If you had a family that was only ever about fun, there wasn't any substance there, and so it doesn't keep you coming back. If you have a family that's only about truth or only about rules, there's no love there. There's no emotional connectivity there. But if you got a family that you grew up in that's high in grace and high in truth, you already intuitively understand this concept a little bit. Let me give you a diagram to go further on this. So if we give ourselves a little matrix here, and we call this the grace-truth matrix. So let's say this little line here is for grace, high grace. And this little line here is for truth, high truth. What happens when you have no grace and no truth? When there's no grace and no truth, low, 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 there's no relationship. If there's nothing there, then there's absolutely nothing there to be built upon. If you are in a relationship where there's high grace, constantly receiving, constantly getting, high grace, this is a consumer relationship. A consumer relationship. If you're in a relationship where it's about the rules and the structures and the principles, it is a contract relationship. Trying to have grace right now. Contract relationship. Now, if you're in a relationship, oh, by the way, these two things are relationships that are appropriate given certain situations. Like, I have a relationship with UDF. It is a consumer relationship. I go to them, and if they've got the best gas prices and a milk that isn't spoiled, great, I go there. But I'll tell you what, as soon as there's a place that has lower gas prices and better cheese curls, I am all there right now. In fact, their cheese curls are awful there. I don't know. Someone's got to tell them, get some like those curly ones. They never have those ones. But nonetheless, if you are in a relationship where you're just taking and receiving and it's about what you need, that's okay. And there's some relationships that are all about that. Now, if you're in a relationship where there's marks that need to be hit and you need to keep doing X, Y, Z, like having a contractor do work on your house, you want a contracted relationship because there's repetitive principles and rules they need to hit. You want that stuff. Now, if you can have both of those, you have a covenant relationship. Both of those to the extreme. That is what God gives us. He gives us a covenant relationship. Now, the problem is that as Americans, we work really well in this consumer thing. In fact, as Americans, that's what we're known as, right? American consumers. We're not known as American citizens. We're not known as American lovers. We're known as American consumers because we consume really, really well. We constitute 5% of the world's population, and we consume 24% of the world's energy. Every day, the average American consumes twice of what an average Japanese person consumes. An average American does what 6 Mexicans does a day, what 13 Chinese people do a day, what 370 Ethiopians do a day. And believe it or not, I'm really not up today for trying to curb our consumeristic desires. That's not my point today. And that's not all entirely bad. All I'm trying to say is this. If we operate this way in the physical realm and then think that we can operate this way in the spiritual realm with God, there's no wonder we're not feeling His closeness. There's no wonder our prayers aren't being answered with more yeses. There's no wonder there's not a depth and a gravitas to us. Because we're only operating on a very, very surfacey level. And the same token, if we're only dealing with God on a contractual level, it's no wonder there's a lack of passion in our relationship with God, that there's a lack of loving to pray instead of having the duty of pray. See, at Crossroads right here, we've got people who are of grace and we have people who are of truth. If you came from no church background when you came here, which is why we start a Crossroads, if you came from no church background, you probably have noticed, man, there's just a sense of grace here. And you might err on the side of grace. You're going, this is great. These people have fun. They laugh. I go to Crossroads events and there's beer there. This is awesome. I hear this guy like talking from stage who says things that I would say in my normal life. I don't think you could ever say this from church. And I love that. I see people getting second chances. Awesome. It's great. It's woo. It's awesome. And then if there's a message that says, and this is exactly what the Word of God says, and you got to do it, all of a sudden you go, Man, I'm not feeling very spiritual right now. Because as soon as truth comes in, you could go, I gotta get. And likewise, opposite, many of us here maybe came from other churches, and many other churches operate really well in the truth thing. Here's what the Bible says. Here's the proper biblical outline. Here's the rules. Here's the principles. Bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, ba, bam. And you struggle with grace. This idea of there could be people around you who have different beliefs than you do. And across as we give people grace to have different beliefs. You could struggle with, oh man, someone does that. And I don't think you should do that, even though I don't see it specifically in the Bible. And you could struggle with that. In fact, if you take a look at these extremes, if you happen to be in the consumer category, you're probably comfortable with being called, I'm a spiritual person. Because spirituality in our culture tends to be subjective. It tends to not have a lot of bite to it. It's feelings-oriented. If you're down here in the contract side, you're more comfortable saying, man, I'm being true to my religion. Because religion, it's about the rules, it's about the principles, it's about the priority. And both of these extremes, if you camp out in these, you will not be able to have a vibrant relationship with God. The consumer up here is always going to be about themselves and selfishness instead of being about God. And the contractor down here, the religious person, is going to think that it's about the rules. So you could be saying, hey, look, I'm coming to Crossroads, I'm tithing, I'm going to Go Cincinnati, I'm serving my neighbors, I'm voting for the right people, I'm doing the prayer, and boom, I just found out I have cancer. God, what is going on here? I'm doing all these things. I'm doing the work. I'm doing what I think the contract should be, and this shouldn't be happening to me. And all of a sudden, bitterness comes in. Wherever you are, there's pros and cons, and we can always operate this way. Like a couple weeks ago, we had a guest speaker. How many of us liked John Gray a couple weeks ago? How awesome was that? Man. Yeah. Ba-bam. Yes. Got a lot of great emails on that one. Also got some not-so-great emails. And the not-so-great emails had a common theme. By the way, in case you're wondering, yes, I am growing my hair longer. I'm not trying to look like Joel Osteen. I'm not. I mean, people have asked me that before. Don't ask me that because I will cut my hair tomorrow if that's what you think. John, as you know, works with Joel Osteen, and people, he mentioned that, and people, some people just, that really bothered them because they view Joel Osteen as only a feel-good guy, and he doesn't say the hard stuff and that this and that, and so they were like, I listened to John, what he said, nothing he said was wrong. It bothered them that he happened to be aligned with them. Dude, somebody said, that's weird. That's really, really weird. Really, really weird. I mean, I'm not a Joel Osteen fan. I keep trying to listen to a whole message. I can't make it through the whole thing. I just can't. That's just me. But he's in my spiritual family. He's totally in my spiritual family. But the person who's in the contract, the truth, said, yeah, but he's got to talk more about pain. He's got to talk more about suffering. He's got to talk about, maybe, but all I know is this. All I know is this. There's a place for all extremes in the family of God. It's just that for you, to have a vibrant relationship with God, you've got to be close with him and highest in grace and highest in truth. Now, let's spend the rest of our time taking a look at a passage of the Bible where we see this and tease it out a little bit more. John chapter 3, it says this. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Three ideas today about having a covenant relationship with God, and we see this in this intersection with Jesus and Nicodemus. First is this, having a relationship with God is intimidating. It's intimidating. Nicodemus is a high religious authority, and he's well known, and Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. This is the first episode of Nick at Night.
This is probably the youngest service at Crossroads. We had the fewest laughs. We go, Nick at Night. What is, I don't know, is Nick at Night even on any longer? I don't know. I don't know. It was a good line. You should laugh more. But nonetheless, he comes at night. Why? I think he comes at night because he's intimidated. I think he comes at night because he doesn't want to be seen. I think he comes at night because if he's concerned, his religious credentials may be sacrificed or lessened if people see him with this guy who's the latest, greatest thing. Jesus, wherever he was always the smartest person in the room. Always. He always said the stuff that blew people away. When someone tried to pin him in a corner, he always got out of it in a way that made them look stupid. So perhaps he's coming to talk to them at night because he's not sure what's going to happen. He's intimidated by this. I'll tell you what. There's a healthy level of intimidation you should feel when you're around God. I mean, he not only did he knit you together in your mother's womb, but he has more power in his small toe, the follicle on the hair of his smallest toe, than all of the human beings and all of human history all put together. He's the God of the universe who thinks forward trillions of moves in advance, and no matter what you do, you can't thwart his plan because he's already got a backup plan. He's able to put together all the millions and billions of people who've ever lived and figure out to how his ways are going to happen because he's that smart. He's that brilliant. He's that big. He's that ongoing. Yes, it is. He's that amazing. Yeah, by the time you guys clap for me, I'm listening to John Gray, and you guys are like clapping for him, you're standing ovations, you're freaking all doing, I'm like, what the heck, I'm working here. Jeez. Yeah, come on now, that's right. So, now hold on. I'm actually not trying to make you do that, but it does feel good, just so you know. So I was over in Israel a couple weeks ago. That's why I missed Go Cincinnati. And it's crazy to me how often I've been there in the last 8 months. I've been there 4 times in the last 8 months, 4 weeks. The main reason I've been there is because I find I get grown when I'm there. I have people teaching me that is unique for me. And I find it fills me up oftentimes. It helps me fill you up and be a better teacher. So that's part of why I've been over there. And when I was over here most recently, I went to the Holocaust Museum, my second time being there. And I was struck by one of the exhibits that was in the museum of Hitler and his propaganda trying to rile people up to go forward on the Holocaust. Do you realize that since 6 million Jews were killed by the Holocaust, the Jewish population worldwide has not been able to build back up to those numbers? It's unbelievable. And I've always wondered, like, why is it that more Jews don't receive Jesus as their Messiah? I mean, there's amazing prophecies that are fulfilled. He is the ultimate Jew, right? He's the best known Jew. He's the best known human being in all of human history. We date time after him. I've just always wondered, why do not more Jews receive him as their own, give their lives to him? Because, gosh, amazing stuff. Well, duh, he's connected with the worst atrocity that's happened in human history. Hitler didn't have a relationship with God, but he had an alignment with the Christian religion, and he used his Christian religion, he put it on his sleeve, and he used it and twisted it to justify and motivate people to kill Jews. So if you're a Jew, are you going to believe that Yeshua, which is Jesus in Hebrew, how easy is it going to be for you to say, I'm going to align myself with him, when you're really intimidated by how he's been used? It's an awful part of the extreme, the other side of the stream of the positive intimidation. There's also a negative intimidation that's there. Being in a covenantal relationship is intense. It's one of the reasons why we get nervous when we're getting married, or if you do get married. Why? It's because you might not even know it. You think you're entering into just for something that's sort of dating to the next level. But when you get into it and start it, there's something about the spiritual weight of it that weighs on you. Because you're not committing that I love you as much as you love me. That's a contract. You're not committing that I'm going to get as much from you as I can. That's the consumer thing. You're committing that in the future, when I don't even know what you're going to do or what you're going to be like or what you're going to look like, or I'm going to love you and I'm going to stay right here in sickness and in health. Dude, that's intense. That is intimidating. That's very, very intimidating. Let's continue on our story. Jesus answered to him, said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Jesus tries to illustrate to Nicodemus how to get to God, how to have a relationship with him, and he tries to spell it out from the physical world, because there's so many things in the physical realm that mirror the spiritual realm. And so he likens physical birth to spiritual birth. I'm just curious, how many of us have been born in here? How many of us have been born? Seriously, I can't even get you to participate by raising your hand. Good. If you haven't been born, I'm really freaked out right now. Somehow you got in the plan. I don't know how. You probably don't even have a belly button, but nonetheless. Okay, how many of us decided to get born? Wow, no. No one in here had a planning session saying, "Okay, I think my mom and dad, I'm going to set them up to get turned on and go to the bedroom, and because I'm about ready to get born in 1979. I'm ready for that now." No one does that. No one has a planning session that says, "Okay, there's this one sperm that's going to be awesome if he connects with this egg." And so you getting born is an entirely passive experience. Jesus says, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. So all of us had this nice little cozy place with 98.6 degree water around us. It was so good. We felt so at one with our mom. It was all good in there. And then all of a sudden, things start getting tight. It's like, and all of a sudden, we were splatted out in the world like, like water went all over the place, and we were cold, and we felt alone, and it was our birth, and we didn't want it. We were passively born, and Jesus says this is the same way when you're born of the Spirit. You must be born of the water. You must be physically born to relate with God. And you must be born of the Spirit. You must be spiritually born to be related to God. How many of us instigated our relationship with God? How many of us did that? No, you didn't. I set you up. I did that. Relationship with God is initiated by God. It's not only intimidating, it's initiated by God. God starts it. Just like somebody else started your physical birth, God starts it if you ever get spiritually born, or as Jesus says, born again, which means born from above. It's in the passive sense. Born from above. And Nicodemus is not liking this. Why? Because he's been working. He's a contract guy. He's the religious elite. He's been working his system for a long, long time, and he's attained a high level. He's been working at work and working, and he says, "How can this be? Are you kidding me? How can this be? You're telling me that all the fulfillments I've done of the contract, all the scriptures I've memorized, all the laws I've been keeping, you're telling me that doesn't get me there? How can this be?" And Jesus is just trying to help him see that it's initiated by God, and who knows what he's going to do. And he likens it to wind. She says, who knows where that wind comes from? Who knows where it originated? Who knows where it's going? He says, that's exactly what it is with God. He decides to blow on people, and who knows when he's going to blow on somebody and when he isn't going to blow on them. This is really key, friends. This is key for you to be appreciative of any relationship you have with God or anything that's starting with God. Let me ask you something. If this is your first time in church today, your first time like in ever in your whole life or a decade, why did you come today? If you've been following Jesus for 2 decades. Why? Why is that? You know, there's people who look like you, who have your same economic background, who have your same job, who vote the way that you do, who live in the same kind of neighborhoods that you live in, who are basically carbon copy you minus a few wrinkles. And yet they have zero desire, zero interest to come into a dark room on a holiday weekend. Why you? You ever think about this? Why you? I don't know. God just decided to blow on you. God decided to send his spirit to quicken your heart to go, I wonder if there's a God. I ought to figure that out. I ought to seek. Other people have no desire to seek and figure that out. Why you? Why you who've been sacrificing and going to Go Cincinnati or doing anything? Why you? It's because of the Spirit of God. You cannot sit here and go, well, it's because I figured it out. Yeah, exactly, Brian. Why are those Jews not receiving Jesus? I figured this out. I saw those prophecies. No. This is you're in a real perilous situation because now you're starting to take glory for yourself. Your intuition, your mental processes, you got to realize for you to have a great relationship with God, it's got to start out of gratitude. And it starts because for whatever reason, he blew on you and gave you a desire to seek. He gave you a grace. He gave you a grace to receive the truth. It's initiated. This should make you feel amazing right now. I mean, it should. I mean, it's like, well, wait, what does this mean for other people? I don't know what it means for other people, but you were important enough for him for whatever reason to put you in an environment where he started to blow on you and started to process you along and started to enable a new spiritual birth to happen inside of you and outside of you so that he could have a covenantal relationship with you for the rest of your life, for the rest of eternity. That is amazing. It's amazing. In the Bible, whenever there is a covenant, and actually in the ancient world, there is the shedding of blood. We talked today about cutting a deal. Let's cut a deal. This traces back to cutting a covenant. You would cut a covenant because there would be blood that would be shed that would cement in your mind that something profound and transcendent happened here. And if I ever choose to get out of this agreement, may this blood signify the ending of me because I want to be in this relationship forever and ever. One of the stranger covenants in the Bible, or one of the strangest cuttings in the covenant in the Bible, was circumcision.
Every day that God comes by is just a wonderful day.
You and your people have to have a covenant with me. A covenant between your people.
Holy cow, me. God, are you telling me that I'm going to have a covenant with you?
Right.
Oh!
You're great. I just say you're so great.
Oh, I'm great. You're great.
Okay, all right. Now, the sign of your covenant with me, okay, I want you to take the foreskin of your penis, and I want you to cut it off so that there's no foreskin on your
penis. Oh, what? You want me to cut it off?
That was a little shock. I hadn't seen that coming.
Listen. It'll be yours. No other people will be like you. And that's how.
Oh, no kidding. No one will be like me. Yeah, I'll be Abraham the freak, man, without the stuff on the end of it.
Are you going to listen to me, or are you going to, like, be a baby about this?
Okay.
That was the first time there was ever any friction between me and Abraham. You know, men are so proud of their members. God knows why. I mean, well, I do know why. Also, all right, I want all the men of your village to have it too. Okay, so just go to the men and say,
oh,
all right.
Oh, come on!
Oh, okay, I'll just go find another multitude.
No. I'm sorry.
Then I realized I was being way out of line. I'm lucky. If he wants to take the whole thing off, I should say thank you. Going, guys.
I don't understand circumcision. I don't understand why that was. But I know this. There was cutting, there was blood, and there was a covenant there between God and Abraham and his descendants. When you come into a covenantal relationship with God through Jesus, there is the shedding of blood. That's what Jesus speaks to when he says this. No one has descended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, Nicodemus didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying here, but as we look back on our retrospectoscope and see all that took place in Jesus' life after that, we can start to understand what he's talking about here. He's talking about the third thing that happens with everyone who has a relationship with God is it's instituted by God. A relationship is instituted by God. When I think of an institution, I think of something that is firm, it's established, and it needs ongoing funding. That's what I think of. And a relationship with God is funded by God. It's funded by his blood. Story in the Old Testament, again, another odd one. The nation of Israel is really rebelling against God, and he sends snakes down. They start biting on them. They start dying. And the way that they come back to heal to wholeness is God tells Moses, erect a staff and wrap a snake around the staff, put it in the center of the camp. Whenever someone looks at the staff, they will be healed. And so Moses does this, and this, by the way, today is the sign of the American Medical Association. Whenever you see that, it's tracing back that old biblical story. And Jesus is saying that I am going to be a snake that's wrapped around a post, specifically a tree, a cross, and whoever looks on me will be healed. He was a snake because he took on your sin and my sin and became disgusting before God for just a moment because our sin disgusts God. And he was high and lifted up on a cross. And when you look to him and his blood that is shed on the cross at Calvary, you're entering into the covenant. Let me be real clear here. You can be religious and you can be doing things that are honoring to God. You can be spiritual and you can be feeling God. But unless you look to Jesus, unless you look to him and him alone as your way to get God, you cannot have a relationship with God. It cannot happen. It can't happen. And I don't mean to like toe the party line or kind of do a na 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 na, your spirituality and religion isn't right. Nah, I don't mean to do that at all. I'm just saying this, that the way to have a relationship with God is through the covenant that he initiated that was intimidating and he instituted by his son dying a death on a cross. He's the only one who offers a relationship with God and says you can have a relationship with God. Buddha himself said, I know nothing of God. Other religions, Hinduism says, no, you can't get to God unless you keep living a better and better and better life every single successive lifetime. That's how you get to the brass ring, not how you have a relationship with God right here, right now. I'm saying you can have a relationship with God right here, right now, that's covenantal, that is eternal, and is fulfilling. Wow. Only God could think of this, and only God could mastermind this. Last week we had a person who entered into that covenant, a bunch of people, through baptism. And it was over in the west side, and he sent this message to our campus pastor over in the west side, Greg McElfresh. Check it out. Here's what it says. About a year ago, we felt like we were going nowhere with our lives. Then fate, known as God, stuck his head into our lives in a way that we didn't ever expect. It was a simple invitation to attend a church service at a church that we had never heard of. Such a simple thing that would put in motion a life-changing event in our lives. Fate, aka God, aka the Holy Spirit, aka wind that blew on this guy, did it. He had Mark and Mary Kay invite us to await it. This was the game changer that put us on the path we are on today. And then you all started the Brave program. We really weren't sure this was for us. Still being new to this whole religion thing and all, and boy, were we wrong. This experience has taken us to a place that we never thought were possible. And then we get to today, a day that will live in infinity. You baptized me. What a feeling, knowing that Jesus was there for me through you. It was amazing. And then when I got to baptize my wife, it was like no feeling that I have ever had in my life. The connection to God and Jesus was something that I will remember the rest of my life. We want to thank you and all the people at Crossroads for everything that has and is still to come. Whoever Mark and Mary Kay are, they obviously have a relationship with God, and they wanted to bring other people into that covenant relationship, and they invited their friends, and their life is a different for it. And many of us in here, you're sitting here right now, and you're going, man, I, 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 I think I'm starting to sense God. I think I want a relationship with him. Jesus continues and says this. He says, for whoever believeth in me, gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned. Whoever doesn't look on Jesus, on the snake, on the cross, is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Let me just pray for you right now. God, as we pray, I think some of us are wanting to receive you right now. We want to enter into a relationship with you in this moment. So for those of us who want to do that, we just mutter under our breath. We say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I ask forgiveness for my sin. I want you in my life. I want to receive you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And as best I can, I'll follow you the rest of my life. Amen. Leviticus 3:22-23, last verse of today, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness.
Because of the Lord's great love, I will not be consumed. No, I will not be consumed. No, 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 I will not be consumed.
Thanks for singing, you guys.